You know, there have been studies that show that when people get together and play something like GarageBand, after 15 minutes of playing GarageBand, you have the same chemical reaction as you have with your best friend. That even in 15 minutes of playing a game together, you break down barriers in an incredible way.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. As you may know by now, I'm your host. My name is Rick Nusky, and it is a real treat for me to have my next guest on the show. His name's Dave Blum. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great.
That's great. Look, Dave Blum, he actually owns and runs Dr. Clue. If you've not heard about that, Dave's going to share what this is all about and how it relates to entrepreneurship and corporate team building and the likes. But before we jump into that, Dave, tell us what's been happening in your world. What are you doing at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I'm delving into this thing called social media.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know quite what to make of it. I'm of an age where it all seems like, look at me, but then that's entrepreneurship, isn't it?
No, well, look, that's a fair statement, I think. You know, there's a lot of screaming and shouting that goes online. You know, we say that, you know, and what I mean by that is everybody's jockeying for position on social media, and, you know, the social aspects turn more into a bit of a marketing sideshow in some respects.
I agree.
So in terms of your background, where has your journey started from, and where are you now in terms of what you're doing?
Well, my journey started back in 1995. Of course, it started well before then, but it was in 95 where I was at a crossroads. Mm-hmm. I was trying to decide what to do. I was in somewhat of a dead-end job. I was making a whopping $11.75 an hour working for a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And wondering if this was my fate. And a friend pulled me aside and said, have you ever thought about starting your own business? And I said, nah, I can't do that. My dad was a journalist. My mom was a teacher. We are not entrepreneurs in this family. But I thought, well, I'll entertain the idea. And so I thought about it for a week, and I came up with an idea or two, and it didn't sound exciting. And so I said, well, let me go back for a week. And just think about what really turns me on. And maybe if I can figure out what is exciting and what my interests are, I can build something out of that. So I did a little assessment and realized the things that I do love the most are traveling, working with groups, and puzzles and games. You know, those three things. Mm-hmm. And I had sort of a misspent youth where I spent a lot of it traveling. I went to about 30 countries in my 20s. And so I thought, okay, we've got these three touchstones. What can I do with it? And we went back and forth and back and forth, and we came up with this treasure hunt, scavenger hunt idea, which would allow me to work with groups every day to travel and explore and poke my head into places I probably shouldn't go, and to play with puzzles and games and ideally, the idea was that every day would feel like fun and every day would be in my pleasure zone. And by and large, that's how it's worked out.
Well, that's fantastic, you know, and that's one of the things we tend to lose, I guess. Not everyone, but I suspect a lot of us, we tend to lose that childish side of us, don't we? We forget how to have fun.
I think we do. And not just fun, but also that sense of intrigue, that sense of swashbuckling, like when you would watch old pirate movies. You know, how much swashbuckling do you do in a cubicle?
Not much at all. No. I have some young children, and I swashbuckle because of them. I live vicariously through my children, I think. Tell me about the format of the business, and how does this come about that you connect with people that are looking to team build? Because I presume that the trigger for all of this is that a business wants to team build. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think there's a number of different reasons. Sometimes you have people that just want to celebrate and mark an occasion. Sometimes they just want to get out of the office and have fun. Other times they have a problem or an intervention that needs to happen. It's a variety of reasons. I think unplugging away from the stress is even more important as time goes along. I think what's interesting to me is that the term team building doesn't quite describe what we do. It's the term that I've heard that I think works a little bit better is teaming.
Teaming.
Because teaming, okay. Yes. Because if you think about teamwork, teamwork is what a sports team would do. Football team, basketball team, they get together, they have a plan, they have a chance to practice, they know their roles, and they get really good at it. What happens in more often in work than you would expect is that people are thrown together with no time to practice and say, do a project, right? You know, and they could be from all different disciplines. You know, when they were trying to save that soccer team in Thailand, you had engineers and you had psychologists and you had all these different people coming together trying to work on this problem who didn't know each other. And so that's teaming. It's basically teamwork on the fly with absolutely no net and no time to practice. You've just got to get it done. And so that's really what we're simulating in my program is people are getting together and saying, okay, you're on a team with people you don't know, or usually people you're not very familiar with. We try and put together the teams in kind of a cross-functional way. Mm-hmm. Here's your challenge, which you've never done before. You need to come up with a plan, execute, and go right now. This is not a well-practiced, well-oiled machine.
This is not a drill.
This is not a drill.
I just wonder, does it actually serve to improve communication and trust and those sorts of things by doing this?
Absolutely. That's what we're going for. Mm. We're going for different aspects of leadership, for sure. How to delegate, how to manage time. But I think that trust is at the core of all of this. Patrick Lencioni talks about that as one of the five dysfunctions of a team is lack of trust. And I think that we work on that all the time.
I think I know the answer to my next question, but do you think playing games in a corporate environment serves the corporate to become a happier place overall?
You know, there have been studies that show that when people get together and play something like GarageBand, after 15 minutes of playing GarageBand, you have the same chemical reaction as you have with your best friend. That even in 15 minutes of playing a game together, you break down barriers in an incredible way.
You tend to touch on those human aspects, don't you? You become, you know, the same as each other.
Well, that's what the goal, of course, is always to be walking in other people's shoes and building that much needed empathy. And we happen to think that that happens when you're away from the workplace and when you're away from those hierarchical relationships.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the background here, and I'm seeing a number of different programs that you have for corporate environments. Now, can you tell us a little bit about the CSR programs?
Well, that stands for corporate social responsibility.
Right.
And you know, every organization has to respond to the need, particularly from the younger generation, which wants to be involved in something bigger than themselves, wants to give back, and corporations are under some pressure. Of course, there are enlightened organizations. So we wanted to create something where you could still be using this playful treasure hunt model, but combine it with some sort of a give back.
Right.
And so it's still a treasure hunt where you're solving clues and puzzles in that pirate fashion, but as you solve each puzzle or a series of puzzles after each round, you acquire certain items that will be then given to charity. So if you were putting together a bicycle, for example, in the first round, you would get the helmets. In the second round, you would get the tools. In the third round, you would get the decorations. And then at the end of the game, after you've counted up and determined the winner, you then put together the bicycles, you decorate them, you test them, and then we bring in some kids from Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or the Boys Club, or the Girls Club, and they receive the bicycles. And there's many different iterations on this kind of model. You can put together kits for care packages for veterans, or you could put together items for helping someone to have a really nice holiday dinner, that type of thing. But it's just gamifying this process of giving.
It would be very rewarding for an organization to, you know, I'm trying to put their shoes on and put myself in their position. At the end of this event, let's call it, you have this outcome. And, you know, you'd walk away from that as a team that's actually achieved something together as one voice. That would be very rewarding. What's some of the feedback that you're getting from the people that you've done this with?
You can imagine they really love it. Mm. And if you can actually have the demographic who are receiving whatever you are donating actually come to the event and receive it right there, it's definitely very heartwarming, very touching.
You talk about demographics, so I just wonder, is it something that a certain demographic are more receptive to, or does everyone seem to get on board with this?
I think if you do it right, everyone gets on board. Imagine if you've just done a bicycle building activity with lots of cool puzzles and codes and ciphers, and you build the bicycle, and then in walk 30 or 40 kids, ages, you know, 8 to 12, and they actually meet with each team and receive their bicycles. It's not a dry eye in the house, and I think it's universal.
Yeah, you can just imagine the emotional aspects of all of this coming together. Do you work with a particular type of business, or is this something that you can do from anybody, from, I guess, software companies to city councils? Who does this apply to? Everyone?
It does apply to everyone. It really is not a skill that is taught all that often, you know, this idea of teaming or teamwork, and everyone needs it, and it's different for each group. Hmm. If you're doing it for an IT group, they will immediately plunge into the puzzles and the challenges like it's the most interesting software challenge they've ever had. They just jump right in because they love the idea of looking for patterns and pulling meaning from chaos. Now, if you do it for a sales group, for example, they're going to be a little bit less patient with the puzzles. They want to get moving and they want to connect and use their personalities and their social skills. And so they are going to be, stopping strangers. Like we did one recently at a theme park at Universal Studios, which has a large area devoted to Harry Potter. And most of these salespeople didn't really know anything about Harry Potter, but they were more than happy to stop kids and families and saying, help me with this quest. I told them, just make sure you don't grab a kid, when the parents aren't looking.
I wonder from an entrepreneurial standpoint, you mentioned earlier that your background wasn't necessarily from an entrepreneurial streak. How have you found that journey running this business yourself?
Two steps forward, one step back or something like that.
Do you hire people or is this, do you have people all around? What happens there?
I delegate as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I don't have any interest in doing any bookkeeping or accounting. Mm-hmm. I delegate that out. I was just having a conversation with somebody about Instagram. And I realized that I needed to find a nice millennial who knew it. So I have an appointment for coffee next week with a millennial friend.
Very good. Yeah, well, and that's the big takeaway for everybody on the call today. If you don't know something and you're not interested in doing it, just find somebody who is good at doing it and get them to do it. Seems like a reasonable thing to do, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah, and if you can't get someone to do it for volunteer, and very often you can just buy them a cup of coffee, but there are a lot of people who have a consulting rate, let's say they charge $150 or $200 an hour, and you say, great, I need a half hour of your time. How many hours would it take for you to read that book for dummies or be on YouTube going through videos when for $100 or $75 you could sit down with an expert? I'm a great advocate of paying the money for a consulting fee.
Yeah,
why not?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a quick way to get the information you want, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I wonder whereabouts do you treasure hunts for people?
There are basically three different locations. There are neighborhoods, historical neighborhoods, parks, and museums.
Right.
So we try and do a lot of our programs outdoors, because there's a certain serendipity that happens when you're out in a real world location. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen. There could be a festival breakout or whatever it is. But we do want to accommodate for inclement weather, so we have quite a few museums, particularly science museums, where we go inside and ride a hunt inside of the museum. And of late, we've been also partnering with clients doing things in their own workplace. So you can actually do an hour or 90-minute treasure hunt inside of a boardroom or an executive meeting room.
Do you find any issues with access, and does it take long to set up a hunt?
Well, there are hunts that require site-specific clues. Mm-hmm. Like if I was doing a hunt, let's say, let's make something up, in downtown Melbourne, I would walk around every inch of the treasure hunt area, probably 5 or 6 square blocks, mm-hmm. and I would look for great clue locations in public space, statues, plaques, murals, monuments, historical signs, time capsules, anything that I can find, and I would create clues from my scouting. If I was doing this at a workplace, I would probably bring in a hunt that would take place in one room. So it wouldn't be site specific, but it would lead to different clue locations around the room, things that I hang up. It's almost like an escape room.
Right.
And of course, one of the things we're doing right now is working with conferences, conventions, where we take them around the convention space and we use a smartphone app.
So if people want to work with you and get you to come along and run this hunt for them, where would they find you?
They would come to my website, which is www.drclue.com, and that's just spelled out DRCLUE. com.
Well, there you go, everyone. If you have a desire to have some fun in the workplace and you're in the listed areas on the Dr. Clue website, definitely reach out to Dave. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to come and help you out. Dave, it's been an absolute joy having you on the My Future Business Show today.
Thank you very much. Me too.
It's been fun having you on the call with us today. Now click on that big red subscribe button and make sure you leave us a comment. Share us with your friends and join the growing list of leading entrepreneurs who have enjoyed their time on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for someone to create professional, evergreen webinar videos that get your audience to take actions you want them to take, then for more details, be sure to visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.